I have a team collecting the leftovers.
Oh, now they're collecting. Okay.
Yeah. Samuel.
So we're going to continue the fun. Matt, I need two volunteers right now. Two people who are active and not afraid to play heads up. You're going to have 60 seconds. Your chance. Get here right now. Let's go. Okay, we got two. Okay, so who's going to give the clues and who's going to guess the clues? Who's going to give? There we go. We're going to do heads up.
Okay.
You want to? Okay, you go down there. Okay. Okay, so you can stand right here. Okay, and Matt, yeah, you turn and you're going to look at these cards that Pastor Matt is going to have, because we've got 10 different images of the church. We're talking about the church today. Great? The church. There's your clue. And so he's got 10 different words, and you cannot use the word, obviously, but you can use other words to describe it. You've got 60 seconds.
I would say.
And I have to try to guess the word.
And you have to try and guess what that word is on this card. You got it?
It's like the picture.
Okay, so you, here, you tell, you, no, don't be afraid. This is not going to hurt you. Okay, you just speak the word. So we all hear you, and you talk in here.
Yep,
so people can hear what clues you're giving.
Yep.
Okay, ready? Are we ready for 60 seconds? On your mark, get set, go.
So like you have a mom and a dad, and then there's like kids.
Family.
Great.
You. It's like you have your arms and your legs and like your
human
head.
Person.
But it's like as opposed to mind. Like
what?
Like mind, mind, spirit.
Soul? I don't know.
That's the other
keep
part.
Going, keep going, keep
the
going.
Part
like
more
arms,
spirit.
Arms,
it's more physical
arms,
than soul.
Chest,
brain.
Pass.
Is your, okay. So there are a lot of soldiers.
Army?
Yes.
Okay. This is where you worship.
Church.
God. But like more formal, more ancient, more. It's like a place of worship.
15
like,
seconds.
Think,
come on.
Think.
What?
Think old people. No. Okay. So think like ancient Greeks, and they're like worshiping.
Temple.
Like,
yes.
Temple. You got it. Okay. Hold it. Okay. You got 1, 2, 3. You got 3 out of 10. But let's give them a big hand, anyways. All right. Okay, Pastor Matt, you got to show. You got to show what we could have had. So we could almost have another game, but we're out of time. God's field. Okay, what else we got? Chosen people. Yeah. Oh. Holy nation. That was going to be a hard one.
Oh, gosh. Holy nation.
Royal priesthood. God's flock. And bride. Okay. There we go. Thanks, Pastor Matt. You can pick up a few cards here and see if I can find mine. All right. Well, thanks for playing. You guys, if you were going to get 10 out of 10, I was going to do a free pizza party for the youth, but... Oh. No. You know what? You can pick up some really nice bookmarks, though, at the back table, and that'll be the consolation prize. All of those are biblical images of the church, right? And we're going to look at a couple of those in more detail today. During the last 2 weeks, we looked at the first and greatest purpose of your life, to know and love God. God loves you, and He wants you to love Him back, and that's called
worship.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Caroline. Today we're going to look at the second great purpose of our life. You've been called not just to be loved by God and love Him back, but you've been called to belong to God's church. We don't just believe something. We belong somewhere. And the Bible says in Hebrews 2:10, God is the one who made all things, and all things are for His glory. He wanted to have many children share in His glory. God created the universe because He wanted a family. God didn't need a family, remember that? Because He was lonely. God wanted a family because He's relational. And the Trinity is a concept that expresses the relational nature of God. He is three in one. And God's essence is relational. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we go from being a creation of God to becoming a child of God. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name. And when you become a child of God, he doesn't want you to be an orphan, little orphan Annie. He puts every believer in his family. And that family is called the church. And your spiritual family is even more important than your human family because it will last forever. And God made you because he loves you and he wants you to love him back and he wants you to be a part of his family. And you were formed for God's family. And this has been his plan from the very beginning of time. Ephesians 1:5 says his unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. So the first purpose for my life is that I'm loved and called to love him back in worship. But the second great purpose of my life is that I belong to him and I'm part of his family, right? You belong to Jesus and you belong to each other. First of all, you belong to Jesus. Romans 1:6 says you're among those who have been called to belong to Jesus Christ. You belong to Jesus because he created you and gave his life for you. You're called out of the world. And there's a Greek word for church in the Bible. It's the word ekklesia. And it comes from the word kaleo, which means called. And ekklesia is you're called out. And the word church literally means the group of people who have been called out of the world to live for God. Now, the church isn't primarily a building with a steeple, right? It's a people. Church isn't something you go to. It's a group of people you belong to. It's not an event and a location, right? SGA 1030. Church is a relationship. And the church consists of people that are called out of the world and into a relationship with Jesus Christ. So you're called, first of all, to belong to Jesus, but secondly, to belong to his church. The Bible says, Ephesians 2:19, so now you're no longer visitors or strangers. Now you're citizens together with God's holy people. You belong to God's family. And the Greek word for fellowship is koinonia. And fellowship doesn't really mean food after the service, right? It means oneness in Christ. True fellowship is being as committed to each other as we are to Jesus Christ. And a follower of Jesus without a church family is simply an orphan. And you can't fulfill God's purposes for your life without other people. And there's a big difference between being a casual attender and being a member. It's the difference between dating and marriage. Or it's the difference between watching football on TV and actually putting on the pads and going to make some tackles, right? So don't just observe the church in action. Join the action. Did you know the book of Acts is the Acts of the Apostles? And that book should never end. It's the Acts of the believers of Jesus. And Romans 12:5 says, in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. If you're in God's family, you belong to each other, to every other believer here. Now, there's some benefits of belonging to God's church. In the Bible, the church is often referred to by a number of metaphors that we looked at this morning. And if you understand the meaning of each metaphor, you'll understand how the church was designed to meet your deepest needs. Now, we don't have time to talk about all 10 this morning, but I'm just going to talk about a couple. First of all, the church is a family. It's probably the most well-known metaphor, but it's got a lot of positive truth applications. You know, when you're adopted into a new family, you get a new family name. I know that for some people, and there's probably a few people here that were adopted, being adopted can be filled with certain negative feelings. You know, the person who is put up for adoption often feels rejected and unwanted, but that is not the way the Bible talks about adoption. When Scripture talks, in biblical times, when someone was adopted into a family, it meant the exact opposite of unwanted. It means you were very wanted. The person who got adopted into a family was chosen and got all the rights and privileges of the family. And it starts with a family name, and we have access to God the Father. You know, we've got very little concept of being separated from God. But before we came to faith in Christ, we were enemies with God. That's what the Bible says. We were objects of his wrath. But when we turn from our sin and put our trust in Christ, our relationship to God the Father changes. And in Jesus and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. We can approach God with confidence because Jesus is a sympathetic high priest. We can call God, the God of the universe, our heavenly Father, or even more intimate, our daddy, our heavenly daddy. We can pray, we can know that he hears us and he loves us and he wants to give us good gifts. We have access to God the Father, and we're heirs of the family inheritance. Paul said, I want you to realize what a rich and glorious inheritance he's given to his people. We'll get to be with God forever. We'll be changed to be like Jesus. We'll be free from all pain, death, and suffering. We're going to get eternal rewards and heavenly positions, and we'll get to share in Christ's glory. What an inheritance, right? Scotiabank's slogan is true for every believer in Jesus Christ. You're richer than you think, right? Your eternal inheritance is permanently protected. It can't be destroyed by a poor economy. It can't be lost or stolen. This eternal inheritance is what you should be looking for and working for all your life, not just retirement. Retirement is way too short-sighted of a goal. You should be living every day in the light of eternity. So we get a new family name, and we have access to God the Father, and we're heirs of the family inheritance, and your new family helps you realize your true identity. You know, most of our identity comes from our relationships, and that can be good or bad. Because if you have good relationships, then you probably have a positive self-identity. But if you have bad relationships, your identity tends to be more negative. But your true identity is found in a relationship to God's family. See, I have a number of different relationships that sort of help define who I am. I'm a son. I'm a father. I'm a brother. I'm a husband. I'm a pastor at SGA. I'm a member in my small group, right? All of those are relationships that help define me. And you know who you are in relationship to other people. But if any of your relationships here on earth get destroyed by disinterest or downsizing or death or divorce, then you'll have a hard time knowing who you really are. And anyone who's lost a spouse through death or divorce knows the struggle to find their identity apart from the other person, because your relationship was tied to that other person. If you get laid off and your identity was tied to your work, you're going to struggle with the question, who am I, right? What's my identity? So our identity is often tied to our relationships. But the great thing about being in the family of God is that our sin doesn't define us anymore. Yes, you've sinned, but it's not your defining characteristic. It's the difference between Alcoholics Anonymous and Celebrate Recovery. Like, they're both very good programs, but Celebrate Recovery is Christ-centered, and here's the difference. If you go to an AA meeting, you'd stand up and you'd begin every meeting by saying, Hi, I'm Perry, and I'm an alcoholic. And you'd be saying that the rest of your life, and you're letting your sin define you. But if you go to Celebrate Recovery, people stand up and they say, Hi, my name is Perry. I'm a child of God who struggles with alcohol. Can you see the difference? Like, it's different to say, I struggle with lying, or to say, I'm a liar. Your sin doesn't define you. Your sin isn't your identity. And here's the great part about being in the family of God. Jesus isn't ashamed to call you brother or sister, because once you're in the family, well, you're in the family, right? You might be a little weird, but you're in the family. And you may have some sin in your life, but you're in the family. And brothers stick up for brothers and sisters. And the Bible says that Jesus isn't ashamed to call you a brother or a sister. And by belonging to God's family, you'll learn your true identity. And your new family offers support and encouragement against backsliding. Hebrews 3:12 says, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." Friends, it's easy to get deceived by sin. It's easy to get co-opted by the values of this world. But 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Encourage each other and give each other strength." You get strength and I get strength when we encourage each other in a small group. Believers ought to gather together and speak the truth and love to each other. So here's my question. Who's looking out for you? And who are you looking out for? Can you name two or three people that you can go to in our church family or in your small group that you're looking out for and who are looking out for you? See, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, "In Christ, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, in Jesus, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit." See, this is the second metaphor that God uses to describe the church. He says the church is like a temple. In other words, it's like a building that's erected for God's glory, where God is honored and worshiped. And 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and His Spirit lives in you?" He's talking to the church. Have you ever been to a construction site? Like we've got a, you know, I hope we're going to have a big construction here. Right now we're just in the HVAC construction. But it takes thousands of different pieces to build a building like this, right? But the most important thing is the pieces have to fit together. If you have a beam that's a half inch too short, it doesn't hold anything. If you have a pipe that's 1 inch too long, it doesn't connect up to the other pipes. If you don't make the connections, you don't have a building. A building can't stand on its own unless it's got the connections, unless the parts fit together. And there's going to be some times in your life when you need other people to help hold you together because you're falling apart. And if you're not connected in the church or in a home group, you're going to fall apart. Here's another thing I've noticed when I've been at a construction site. There's always a lot of stuff laying around on the ground, spare parts and pieces of wood that haven't been used. And what I've noticed is you can be a pipe or a piece of wood in a building, but not necessarily belong to the building. If you don't belong to the building until you're connected to it. And that's the same way that some of you are. You attend Southgate occasionally on Sundays, but you've never taken the time or made the commitment to get connected, to be a member, to belong, to serve. And you need to get connected. You know, a huge problem in our society is loneliness. People feel disconnected. And we've got all this technology. We've got all these apps, right, to connect to each other. And yet people feel more disconnected than ever. You need to get connected to God's building, not just lay around the construction site. Like you're God's Lego. I don't know if any of you, appreciate Lego, like this kind of picture. But if you're a believer in Christ, you're God's Lego. Like there's only one purpose for Legos. They're designed to connect to each other. And if you don't connect them, they're worthless. They're just a pile of plastic. But if you connect them together, there's all kinds of cool designs that you can make. You were designed for connection. You were meant to be not just in the family of God, but in the temple of God, in the building where we connect to each other. Romans says it like this, I want us to help each other with the faith we have. Your faith will help me. And my faith will help you. And the church is a place to grow. Right? You can't fulfill God's purposes for your life without other people. You'll never grow to become spiritually mature by being a passive spectator. It'll take the whole church to take the whole gospel to the whole world. And the Bible says that the church is like a body. There's another image. The only way for muscles to grow and get stronger is to get used. And one phrase used over and over in the New Testament are the words, "one another." We're commanded to love each other and serve one another and honor one another and forgive one another and be devoted to one another. Those are your family responsibilities. That's biblical church membership in action. And a small group is a place for you to discover and use your spiritual gifts for ministry. The best place to discover and practice those gifts isn't necessarily Sunday morning. It's in a small group of close friends who you know and you can trust, and they'll give you the chance to try something new. So those are some reasons, some benefits of why you need to connect to the church. And you say, well, how do I get connected? How does this thing all work? What's the starting point? The starting point for church membership is baptism. See, while your relationship to Jesus is personal, God never intended for it to be private. Baptism publicly announces to everybody in the world, I'm not ashamed to be part of God's family. Jesus isn't ashamed to call you his brother and his sister, so don't be ashamed to call him your Lord. And baptism symbolizes God's second purpose for your life, participating in the fellowship of God's eternal family. Baptism is a picture of what Jesus did for you, his death and resurrection, right? And it also symbolizes your desire to die to yourself and to live for Jesus, who died for you and rose again to bring you into a right relationship with God. It's a celebration of your inclusion in God's family. Now, baptism doesn't make you a member of God's family. Only faith in Christ does that. Baptism shows that you're already a member of God's family. Like a wedding ring, it's a visible reminder of an inward commitment made in your heart. It's an act of initiation. It's not the culmination of a lifetime service award. You don't get baptized at the end of your life and say, well, I did everything I could and I served him for 30 years and okay, I'm going to... That's not it. It's the first step. It's the first step of belonging. And the only condition to be baptized is that you believe. I've met lots of believers who've never publicly identified with their spiritual family as Jesus commanded by being baptized. Friends, baptism isn't optional. If you read the New Testament, you'll see that. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church, 3,000 believers were baptized the same day as they accepted Christ. If you haven't been baptized as an expression of your faith in Christ, do it as soon as possible as Jesus commanded. In fact, next Sunday is another opportunity. We're going to fill the tank for the Mandarin congregation on Thanksgiving Sunday, and we'll make room for you. We have a great service. It's going to be a Thanksgiving service, and we have another congregation joining us, our Brazilian group, and it's going to be fantastic. But it would be even more fantastic if somebody just says, I want to publicly show that I belong to Jesus. And I want to be part of his family. Well, you know, you're a part of God's family. Being included in God's family is the highest honor and the greatest privilege you'll ever receive. And whenever you feel unimportant or unloved, remember to whom you belong. You belong to Jesus. And you belong to each other. And if you don't have positive connections with a family in Calgary, we'd like to be your adopted family. And maybe you've tried, you know, all your life to fit in and you've looked for places to belong, but the truth is you'd say, I never really felt like I belonged anywhere. Well, you belong to Jesus and you belong here. Regardless of who you are, what you've done, your family background, your ethnicity, you're wanted here. This is a family that's open to you. You're welcome to belong. No, you're more than just welcomed. You're wanted. We need you. And if you want to belong here, I'd invite you to get baptized. It's the way to celebrate that you belong to Jesus. And then show your love for others by taking the step of becoming a church member. And then get in a small group. Get connected. And to the rest of you, who are already doing that, right? You may say, hey, I've already been baptized. Or, I'm already a member of the church. Or I'm already in a small group. Here's my word to you. Fall in love with the church of Jesus again, right? See what Scripture says? Love your spiritual family. Fall in love with the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, God's building. I can't understand people who say, well, I love Jesus, but I don't love the church. The church was designed to meet your deepest needs. And you can't be what God put you on this earth to be without being connected. How do you love Jesus but not love his bride? Right? We're better together. We grow together. The church is the hope of the world. Politics isn't the hope of the world. Education isn't the hope of the world. Economics isn't the hope of the world. If any of those things would have worked, we'd have solved the thing a long time ago. The hope of the world is the spread of God's good news so that lives are changed and hearts are changed and families and marriages are saved. And the only thing that's going to last is the church of God. So I highly recommend that you invest the rest of your life in that which will endure for eternity, because nothing else will. And let me close with this verse, Ephesians 3:21. Says this: glory belongs to God in the church and in Christ Jesus for all time and eternity. Notice the Bible says two things bring glory to God: the church and Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and the church is the family of God. And these two things bring glory to God. So don't ever put the church down. It's God's bride, it's his family, and it's God's purpose for your life. And you are called to belong. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for the gift of a spiritual family. Thank you that we don't have to go through life isolated and disconnected. Help me to love my church family the way you love my church family. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've got a fun part today. I want everybody that is going to join our church today to come at this time. Come on up, right now. Come on. You guys walk slow. There you go. This is Frank Pataki. Caroline's already a member, and he was gone that weekend, I think, or something like that, so he's going to join today. Frank, why don't you just tell us, just give us kind of the short strokes on how was it and when did you come to faith in Christ?
Well, I grew up a Catholic, so I was with Christ from birth, basically, but my walk with him has grown as I grew because of my belief in Christ.
Okay. And so I know that you and Caroline, I think, got baptized together in a church somewhere in BC or something?
Correct, yeah. We got baptized on Jericho Beach in Vancouver.
Okay.
Right
in the ocean?
Right in the ocean, yeah.
Very cool, yeah. Very cool. So it was your desire at that point? You just wanted to say, hey, I want to declare to everybody, I'm a follower of Jesus.
That's correct, yeah.
All right. So, Frank, what's one thing that you appreciate about Southgate Alliance that it kind of... that helped shape your desire to be a member here?
Well, when we first came to Calgary, we wandered around and checked out several churches, did a little shopping, as they say, and we found that when we came to Southgate, it was the one that spoke to us. The folks here were friendly. They approached us, made us feel welcome right away, and then the message also kind of spoke to us when we were there. So
nice.
Yeah.
We are we're glad to have you, and
thank you.
We welcome you. There's this thing in the Bible called the right hand of fellowship, so we're going to do that. Welcome to Janice. Hi.
Hi.
Nice to see you.
Good to be here.
Okay. When and how did you become a follower of Jesus?
Well, I thank God that my parents didn't send me to church. They took me to church from 2 weeks old. And so when I was 7 years old, I understood that I needed God's salvation. And I believed, and I was baptized right at that time when I was 7 years old.
The importance of children's ministry and the importance of modeling parents. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when and where were you baptized?
I was baptized in Bismarck, North Dakota. So I grew up in the States and came to Canada after I graduated university.
All right. Well, we're so glad to have you. What's one thing that you appreciate about Southgate that prompted your desire to become a part of our local body?
Well, it was Miriam Chan from the Cantonese congregation that brought me here, And I was looking for an international church, and I was looking for a missions-minded church. And when I saw that motto over the door, you know, a church that prays for the nations, yeah, a church that goes to all nations, that was it. This was the place for me.
Nice. Well, we are so glad to have you. You have some unique gifts, and you help out in the Mandarin congregation a lot. But anyways, welcome. We're glad to have you as a member of our church. Gary Jin, when and how did you become a Jesus follower?
I became a follower of Jesus when I was 22. I was working in Toronto in the summer, and I have been, you know, attending church, but it wasn't until my Sunday school teacher asked me the question, you know, are you ready?
So yeah,
kind of forced me to make a decision that I made the decision.
Great.
Yeah.
So it's the importance of children's ministry, but for you also for young adult ministry, right? You know, at 22, coming to become a follower of Jesus, and then you got baptized,
yes,
soon after that?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
In Ontario somewhere?
Yeah, also in Toronto at the church.
Okay.
That church. Yeah.
Okay, well, now, you are actually a Boomerang member, because you used to be actually even on the board here.
Yes.
Okay, many years ago. And so, tell us one thing you appreciate about Southgate that has prompted your desire to kind of come back and be a member here.
Yeah, I think for me, it was volunteering to help in Alpha.
Yeah.
And what it opened my eyes to was, you know, all the gifts that God has given to people serving at Southgate, but also showed me how I could fit in and how I could serve here too.
Yeah. Well, we love having you here. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome. Mary Tess Bird. Okay. When and how did you become a Christ follower?
Okay, I was 6 years old in the Philippines.
Okay.
And my parents were Catholic, but then my great aunt invited us to go to church, and that church is an Alliance church planted by planted by an American missionary.
Yeah.
And then the Gushilaks also came and worked there for 5 years and discipled the people before me.
Yeah.
So then I became a Christian from Sunday school.
Wow. Yeah. See, now that underscores,
yes,
the importance of Alliance missions around the world.
Yes.
That's fantastic. Okay. Yeah. Then, and so when did you get baptized? And
I was baptized in the same church when I was 12 years old.
12 years old. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, what's one thing that you appreciate about Southgate that has prompted your desire to become a member here?
I think this church is very supportive, loving, and caring, Christ-like people, and I just love everybody here. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, welcome here. I'll just...
Thank you.
This is Gil Colgan. Okay. Gil?
Hi.
Why don't you share with us just briefly how you became a Christ follower?
Well, briefly is a misnomer, because if I was to go through all that God has done for me in the past almost 50 years, we'd be here until tomorrow.
Okay, that's good. I like that, but we're going to have to go shorter. But yeah, that's great. Okay, because there's a lot of stuff that God does in our life we don't have time to share today.
So I started attending a Baptist church in 1971. And came to know the Lord just around Halloween time, the end of October, 1971.
Coming up to the anniversary.
Baptized then a few months later.
Okay. In a Baptist church in Ontario?
In Ontario, yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, Gil, it's great having you here. What's one thing that you appreciate about Southgate that has prompted your desire to be a member here?
Well, your message today was talking about family.
Yeah.
And I've been away from the Lord for a while, quite a while actually, and I needed somewhere to have the fellowship,
yeah,
with Christian and rekindle the love that I had for,
yeah,
the Lord.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're so glad to have you, Gil. Let me shake your hand and welcome you into our membership here.
Thank you very much.
All right. I think we'll do Hilda first.
Is that a shot?
No, there's no shots here. No shots, because we're in the same home group, and, you know, I just thought, you know, we'll make sure that Hilda gets a word in. That was a shot. Hilda, why don't you share when and how you came to know the Lord?
Well, I also was a Catholic, being christened as a Catholic in Aberdeen, Scotland.
They have Catholics in Scotland?
Oh, they do.
Oh. I thought they had Presbyterians.
Well, no, there's those as well. But then when my family moved to Canada, I became a Protestant. And it was through a nice neighbor who lived across the street from us, an elderly lady who asked if I would like to go to Sunday school.
Nice.
And I was very excited to go because I had always had an interest in things of God.
About how old were you?
I was 13, okay. 13 years old.
Youth ministry.
And I just really enjoyed it, and it wasn't very long after that that I received the Lord.
Okay.
And then quite a few years later, I was baptized in the at Johnson Heights Evangelical Free Church in Surrey,
okay.
Also BC.
Yeah.
And I've just wanted to follow the Lord ever since.
Nice.
And really enjoyed this church, the welcoming.
Yeah, share one thing that you know that has prompted your desire to be a member.
Well, I just want to serve people from this church because I want to give back to what everyone here has done for us, because through our home group and the warm welcome that we've received since we arrived almost 3 years ago, they're the most loving people, and I would encourage all of you to join a home group.
Amen.
We love every one of you.
Amen. It's all right. Here you go, bud. All right. Finish it off, Kevin.
I came to Christ at a Bible camp in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado at elementary school age.
Okay. And so Bible camp, again, the importance of camping ministry and children's ministry. And when did you get baptized?
I was baptized at Northwest Evangelical Free Church in Arvada, Colorado when I was 14 years old.
Okay.
And then my family moved to Canada.
And so you grew up in the States as well.
Well,
so
till 15, and then I've been up here ever since. So
yeah.
My dad was from Saskatoon, and my mom was from Colorado. So.
Okay. Well, it's been just such a pleasure to have you as a part of our home group and in our church. We just know you guys have been through an awful lot this past year, but we love you so much. And what's one thing that's prompted your desire to be a member here?
Well, there was almost immediate contact. When we came the first one or two Sundays, we were immediately invited by people from our home group initially, and kind of we've kind of split that home group up into two groups now, but a number of people just extended the hand of fellowship and invited us out to the group, Barry and Tom, et cetera, and families. And so we're very appreciative of the support and love that we've had during a tough time with our son. So.
Yeah. Well, welcome, brother. It's great to have you as a member of our church. Why don't we just give a big welcome to all these guys. You can go ahead. All right, we have one more thing. We're going to end with communion. I couldn't think of a more fitting way. Scripture says, when we bless the cup at the Lord's table, aren't we sharing in the blood of Christ? And when we break the bread, aren't we sharing in the body of Christ? And though we are many, we all eat from one loaf, showing that we are one body. Today we celebrate communion together as well. And as we do, we're reminded that we share in the benefits of Jesus' work. He gave his life and shed his blood for our sin. We're forgiven and no longer a slave to the penalty and power of sin. And he formed a group of friends that he called out of this world and into his family, the church. And there's only one church around the world
There's one body of Christ. There are many individual members of Christ's body, but today we join with millions of other believers all around the world in remembering Jesus' death and resurrection. Friends, it's Sunday. It's Resurrection Day. And Jesus is the bread of life that came down from heaven so we could live for him. If you're a believer, you don't have to be a member of this local church. If you belong to Jesus, I invite you to one of the four tables all around the sanctuary. Get a piece of unleavened bread and juice. Return to your seat, and then we're all going to eat together. Okay? So take it, return to your seat, and we'll all share together. If you have a prayer need, there will be elders and a prayer team people available just along the side walls here, and they would love to pray with you, either during our concluding worship song or immediately after the service in the room right to the left as you leave this morning. Friends, come to the table. Let God's Spirit lead you to the cross and to Jesus, to whom we belong.
Savior, I come, quiet my soul. Remember, redemption's here, where your blood was spilled for my ransom. Everything I once had.
Would you stand with me? You know, in many cultures, they have a piece of bread and some wine, and they make a toast. I wonder if we could do that today, just to remember that we belong to Jesus. As we eat this bread, we remember we belong to Jesus. He gave his body for us. And this is the toast. Thank you, Jesus. You loved us so much. You forgave our sin and life everlasting. Let's drink it together.
I'm going to invite you just to leave your cups as we exit. There's some trays back there that you can just take these cups and drop it in there. Next week, we have a special Thanksgiving service. You're not going to want to miss it, so please come back. Let me just bless you as we go. Father, thank you for your great love and that you called us to be a part of your family. Help us to be the kind of family that gets along, that puts up with each other, that loves each other deeply. Help us to love your family as much as Jesus did. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Give those people a handshake. If you don't know someone, make sure you get to know them as you're walking out this morning.